Hey ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, "The more MQLs, the better," over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
One of my favorite conversations I've ever had on There Are No Girls on the Internet is with a writer who was targeted and harassed online about how she continues to stay safe while doing visible work on the internet. Without missing a beat, she said, "Anybody worried about online harassment should sign up for Delete Me." I signed up for Delete Me right then and there, and I personally recommend it to anyone. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and use promo code NOGIRLS at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and enter code NOGIRLS at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/nogirls, code NOGIRLS.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
It is a reflection of just the overall low level of engagement that, you know, most of us have when it comes to what's happening in our own backyards.
There Are No Girls on the Internet is a production of iHeartRadio and Unbossed Creative. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is There Are No Girls on the Internet.
We can all probably name a big, flashy national political leader who successfully amassed a lot of political power in the United States' federal government. His name starts with a Donald and ends with a Trump. But what about the extremist power grabs happening in our own backyards? Right-wing extremists have been quietly and successfully building power at the local level, zeroing in on institutions like local school boards and small towns. And while many of us are paying attention to national issues, it's happening right under our noses.
I am the host of Bedrock USA, which is a new podcast from Bloomberg City Lab and iHeartRadio. And I'm also a reporter on staff at Bloomberg City Lab.
In her podcast, Bedrock USA, reporter Laura Bliss uncovers how the far right is making inroads in local government.
So how did you become someone who covers the way that things like extremist ideology and conspiracy theories can really impact small town life?
Yeah, so I came into this from a somewhat sideways path. I have been covering cities and kind of local communities for most of my journalism career. And so because I report on that local level, I mean, on issues like housing and transportation and kind of, you know, local policy issues, I really couldn't ignore the way things like QAnon and other forms of kind of anti-democratic rhetoric were starting to creep into my beat. And this became especially true, you know, during the pandemic, and I think really became hard to ignore, impossible to ignore after January 6th and the Capitol insurrection. I think we've all seen this at this point, this explosion in stories about school board battles, you know, waged by QAnon believers, oath keepers running for city councils, and kind of the bread and butter issues that local governments work on, you know, stuff like the, you know, development proposals for new housing projects or light rail stations. Like even issues like these started to become, in not every case, but in a sort of surprising number of communities I was reporting in, kind of tinged by our just hyper-partisan and kind of an increasingly extreme political environment. And so this podcast, Bedrock USA, which is really about how, you know, far-right ideologies are reshaping local governments and kind of what local communities are doing about it, really came out of that. But I'll also add, too, that I think it's just really fascinating to look at the local level or to sort of use the local level as a lens into the broader issues that you're talking about. Because, you know, when you are reporting in a small town, I mean, you're talking to people who are literally neighbors with each other. You know, and if you're kind of like a anti-government conspiracy theorist in a small town, and, you know, you just profoundly, you know, mistrust the person who is on your city council, or you're, you know, railing against a school board member, I mean, that can mean going against your own neighbor, or just sort of believing that your own neighbor is fundamentally, you know, unworthy of your trust. And so that just provides some really interesting kind of human drama that I am attracted to as a reporter, and I guess someone who likes to tell stories. And finally, too, I mean, this kind of like hyper-partisanship that we're talking about, and, you know, ideologies that are infused with misinformation and conspiracy theories, it's just really a sharp contrast with the way local government theoretically is supposed to work. Normally, we think of local government as the, you know, institution that takes care of our least partisan issues, right? I mean, these are supposed to be the people working on keeping our streets paved and making sure the trash gets picked up and, you know, just the sort of bread and butter issues that you'd think would be immune to, you know, ideologies like QAnon. And so just all of these kind of dynamics at play just really drew me into this story.
Think about the mundane, everyday issues that come up in your community, where the bus stops are, how schools are funded, what resources are available for what. Now imagine that a well-organized coalition of extremists could hijack the conversation around those issues and stymie any meaningful progress on them. While reporting for Bedrock USA, Laura found that the issues that you might have once thought about as not really that polarizing would become hotbeds of extremist conspiracy theory. Yeah, I'm wondering, in your reporting, have you seen that we're reaching a place where these resources and these things in local government that you would think of as being nonpartisan are just also deeply politicized?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's really one of the most interesting things about reporting on these issues in a local kind of government context, is that we're seeing issues that are traditionally not partisan at all, or at least not partisan in the kind of traditional left versus right sense, really become politically charged by politicians or political groups and taking on, you know, really kind of high political stakes in ways that we might not previously expect. And so, like, for example, one of the stories that we reported on in the Bedrock USA podcast, which I really hope people listening to this show check out, is a story of how a proposal to build an opioid addiction treatment clinic in a small town called Sequim, which is in Washington State, really drove the town apart into two camps. One side was opposed and the other side was more supportive. And, you know, it's not totally unexpected that something like an opioid addiction treatment clinic would be controversial or have supporters or opponents. But what was really unusual is that, especially after the pandemic hit, One Facebook group in particular, it was against the clinic, very quickly aligned itself in support of various far-right ideologies around stuff like masking and vaccines, as well as lies around the 2020 election results. And so I think what's so fascinating and scary about that dynamic is that it not only reflects kind of a broader political landscape where everything is partisan, everything is kind of a left versus right, you know, cultural issue, but also that this particular local opposition group on Facebook actually became a pathway for radicalizing some people. There were people in this town who were initially drawn into this group to discuss the local clinic issue and discuss, you know, why they were so opposed to it. But then by virtue of being in this online space, were exposed to more kind of radical ideas. And I'm not just talking about masking and vaccines, so that's definitely worthy of, you know, our conversation. But, you know, by 2021, I was looking at this Facebook group and seeing people, you know, post in support of stuff like, or posting in support of sovereign citizen groups, which sovereign citizen, it's kind of a ideology that falsely promotes the idea that people living in the United States can be exempt from U.S. law. And this is kind of a movement that's been linked over many decades to numerous acts of political violence.
You know, you mentioned that someone being opposed to an opioid treatment clinic in their small town, that's not terribly surprising. I can imagine that somebody having that kind of response. But then on an online platform like Facebook, that kind of gets mixed in with anti-mask stuff, you know, maybe QAnon stuff, election denying stuff. I guess my question would be, how do these things all get kind of wrapped up? You would think that these things would be very disparate, but they all sort of travel in circles. And so like any one conspiracy theory kind of comes along with multiple harmful conspiracy theories, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big just part of the dynamic you're kind of asking about is, you know, just boils down to the people who are posting, right? I mean, we saw in this particular example in Squim, Washington, this opposition group was led by a woman who had actually tried to run for a, you know, state legislator position previously, and she was, you know, Republican and sort of carried what became, you know, increasingly pretty extreme views on stuff like masking and vaccines, and also the 2020 election. And so her, as well as others in the group, you know, use that space as a forum to post about these other topics and post misinformation and, you know, links to YouTube videos that spread lies about stuff like the 2020 election or Anthony Fauci, and, you know, these kinds of hot button, you know, topics that became, you know, major drivers of misinformation and including QAnon, right, which we're seeing, you know, has not died. We've just seen in the last couple of weeks, you know, Donald Trump increasingly embracing, you know, QAnon slogans and kind of QAnon related memes, even as the number of really disturbing acts of violence linked to QAnon are also going up. So anyways, to answer your question directly, I think it really mostly boils down to, you know, just the sort of Venn diagram of people in these kinds of forums. You're going to have people who are already sort of holding more extreme views and already are kind of linked to these, you know, networks related to conspiracy theories and sort of misinformation networks. And then they're just exposing a wider kind of group of people to those ideas who may have entered that space for different reasons to begin with, right? I talked to one researcher who had studied this particular Facebook group that I'm talking about, Squim, Washington, and he was actually able to find an example of one Facebook, or one group member, I should say, who, you know, literally moved from, you know, in the time before she joined this Facebook group, from being like a Bernie Sanders supporter to, you know, posting in support of the sovereign citizen movement, which is this very far right kind of ideological movement, like I mentioned, that promotes this
very dangerous and false idea that you could be sort of exempt from U.S. law if you apply for this basically fake set of documents. Again, and this is something that's also been linked to actual political violence. So it's just a really scary example of how local issues, that traditionally were sort of outside this normal partisan dynamic, are now becoming avenues for, radicalization.
The normal avenues of talking about what's happening in your community become open, like they're being exploited and manipulated in a way that, like, you can't even have the conversation about your school board or your potholes or your garbage because those conversations are being so easily manipulated by bad actors.
Yeah, and I think actually that touches on a really important point. And another, I think, important or another reason that paying attention to these kind of like local forums is so important, which is that normally we don't pay attention to them, right? Like local government is the level of government that on average, we know sort of least about, which is ironic because in some ways it has the most direct impact. Like we all care if our trash gets picked up, we all care about the potholes on our roads and our local school systems, but, we just sort of take for granted that those things are just going to happen on their own. And so we tend to pay a lot more attention to, national politics or even sort of our state level, political issues than we do to what's happening in our city council meetings and school board meetings, until now, because these issues are becoming so much more kind of inflamed and extreme. But I think you sort of hit on an important point, which is that, folks who are exploiting, as you say, that level of ignorance, in which most of us exist around our local government, people are aware of that. And so they're getting into these meetings where there isn't necessarily a lot of scrutiny or a lot of awareness in the general public and taking advantage.
Let's take a quick break. Hey, ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It is crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or your community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together. Hi, it's Bridget Todd, host of There Are No Girls on the Internet. Listen, technology has made our lives easier in some ways, but it's also made us homebodies, scrolling mindlessly. Well, you get the point. Let Rails to Trails Conservancy unstick you from home. When you get out on a trail and get to walking, you'll feel so good. Trust me. You'll see that being out on the trail is so much more than a day outside. It's good for your soul. Get ideas for getting outside on the trail from Rails to Trails Conservancy, the nation's largest trails, walking, and biking advocacy organization. Visit railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at Rails to Trails. Y'all know I love the internet, but a sad truth about it is that it can be a scary place, especially for women, people of color, and trans folks. We've talked to people on this podcast, whistleblowers, activists, and advocates who are making technology safer, who then become targets for doing that work. But the truth is, it can happen to any of us online. That's why I personally use and recommend Delete Me. Delete Me finds and removes any personal information you don't want online and makes sure it stays off. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and use promo code NOGIRLS at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and enter code NOGIRLS at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/nogirls code NOGIRLS. So in 2024, one of my goals is to finally get serious about my finances. It's been kind of a big emotional thing for me. Thinking about money historically has caused me a lot of anxiety and stress because I have a lot of trauma related to money. And if you can relate, if that sounds like you, check out Fearless Finance. Fearless Finance provides on-demand, comprehensive financial planning by the hour. It's a new way to get financial advice without all the headaches, high fees, and commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. Fearless Finance planners don't sell anything. No used car salesman vibe here. And that means no concerns about being sold something just for the commission that it earns a rep. Their planners meet you where you are on your financial journey. No judgment, whether you're looking to buy a house, optimize your savings, or just want to make sure your finances are okay. They can answer your questions and help you achieve your goals. No question is too small. No problem is too big. Fearless Finance is making financial advice more affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually, and they charge by the hour. Visit fearlessfinance.com today to get started. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit. And you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use code GIRLS. And we're back. It's easy to stay read in on issues at the federal level. You know, who's running for president and what they stand for. But if we're being real, I'd be willing to bet that a lot fewer of us are as dialed in to issues happening at the local level. And we probably should be, because from county clerk's offices to school boards, these issues can really have a profound impact on our day-to-day lives. Laura says that extremists exploit our tendency to not always be so invested in local politics. And when we aren't paying close attention, they can swoop in and take over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was excited to talk to you about next. Sort of, can you describe what you've seen in your reporting about how folks have been able to really amass political power at the local level, really in kind of a sleeper way? Like before you know it, you're like, oh, folks have really done a successful power grab of our local government.
Absolutely. So Bedrock USA really tells the story of two communities in particular. And one of them I've already mentioned, it's Squibb, Washington. And the other is Shasta County, California, where the story is really ongoing, but played out in a pretty dramatic fashion, especially last year in 2021. And Shasta County is a very conservative pocket in Northern California. It's a few hours north of Sacramento. It's always been, you know, a pretty deep red bastion. But during the pandemic, we really saw how, folks on the further right end of the spectrum really took advantage of some of the dynamics we've been talking about. You know, just the fact that people don't normally show up to their, county board of supervisors meeting to sort of hear what's going on. But some people with pretty extreme political views did. And so just to sort of illustrate that a little bit more, a group of far-right, sort of ideologically aligned folks, including militia leaders, State of Jefferson supporters. State of Jefferson is a movement to have a chunk of California and a chunk of Oregon basically secede. It's a kind of conservative secession fantasy movement, as well as anti-maskers and just kind of all around disaffected, conservatives who were sort of radicalized by the pandemic. All of these folks band together, during COVID to recall a conservative Shasta County supervisor. And so the county supervisors in Shasta. It's basically city council, but at the county level. And by successfully recalling this person, which they did, and install kind of one of their own, they were actually able to shift the balance of power in this conservative county so that now, the board is controlled by a majority of pretty far-right individuals and who have done things like, earlier this year, repeal the local state of emergency around the pandemic and insist that, county board meetings be conducted in person rather than taking place over Zoom to mitigate, pandemic risk. And also, more worryingly, fire the county public health director, the county public health officer. And there's actually been this sort of alarming exodus of very high profile, you know, county officials who oversee the Department of Health and the county CEO, I believe. But there's been this really kind of worrying exodus of high ranking, you know, county officials who are experts in their field, you know, and who really are responsible for just keeping this level of government running in the kind of like day to day functioning way that, you know, most of us would expect. And so this is a movement that's really alarmed quite a number of residents in Shasta County. But it, again, in some ways, as you've been saying, like it is a reflection of just the overall low level of engagement that, you know, most of us have when it comes to what's happening in our own backyards.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you're spotlighting this because I do think that it's just really easy to get super fired up about who's in the White House, who's in the Senate, who's in Congress. And I mean, I think we're all, I'm guilty of it. I just think it's like very easy to focus on these bigger conversations and elections and races and really overlook what's happening on your own block and your own neighborhood and on your own street. And so like, one, I'm really glad that you're spotlighting that because it is really important. And I guess my second question would be, you know, should we take the reporting that you've seen in Bedrock USA as kind of a wake-up call as to why it's so critically important that we stay engaged and checked in at the local level as well as the national and federal level?
Absolutely. I mean, I hope that is one of the sort of take-home messages. And, you know, and I will say that, you know, local officials who are, you know, working in some of these communities where we reported would even say that, you know, silver lining might be too optimistic of a phrase, but, you know, that they are glad, you know, that there is more attention being paid to the work that they do, you know, as a result of these movements that are, you know, otherwise extremely harmful, right? I mean, these are movements, again, that are fueled by misinformation about stuff like, you know, from conspiracy theories like QAnon to election denialism and other just sort of misinformation systems. But that they are glad that, you know, people are showing up to, let's say, the elections office in Shasta County. My producer and I were there in Shasta County in June to report on the primary election that took place there. And there was a group of folks, you know, who were associated with the recall movement and who held pretty far-right views, taking issue with the results of the election. And that is extremely damaging. And at the same time, it meant that the, you know, county elections office had, you know, more people paying attention to the way the system runs. I think what it really comes down to is the fact that, you know, we need more people who are paying attention in good faith, right? Who are paying attention to the system and making sure things are going well, you know, with the belief that democracy should continue. Because unfortunately, you know, many of these groups are looking at what's happening with a, you know, predetermined belief that what's happening cannot be trusted. And so, you know, all the observation in the world, you know, is unlikely to sort of stem that disbelief, unfortunately. I really saw that deeply, just the profound level of mistrust in some of these people who have imbibed the kind of election lies that were so prominent in 2020. But anyways, this is all just to say, you know, we do need more people paying attention in good faith. Because if there's anything I learned from this podcast and, you know, going deep into the, you know, halls of local government and the people who make these, you know, small bureaucracies work, is that democracy really comes down to people. And it's about the trust that we place in each other. And on the local level, that literally comes down to trusting your neighbors and trusting the people you go to the grocery store with and trusting the people you hand your ballot to. And we do need that trust to work. And we also need oversight and people paying attention to ensure that, you know, that trust is earned.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to ask you about that. What role, I mean, it sounds like mistrust and the lack of trust in general is really the thing that is the problem here, right? Like, what role do you think that a lack of trust in our institutions has played in all of this?
Oh, it's profound. I mean, it's definitely profound, and it's not new. Clearly, I mean, you know, mistrust in government, particularly at the federal national level, you know, goes back, you know, decades, if not to the founding of our country in some ways. But I think the sort of level of mistrust in local government is actually somewhat new, because for the most part, you know, people tend to place more trust in the sort of people and institutions that are closest to them. But we are starting to see that really kind of degrade. And I think the pandemic, you know, played a huge role in kind of accelerating this crisis of mistrust, you know, because of how, you know, our local leaders and state leaders and national leaders handled the crisis, and because of, you know, the way online platforms so readily, you know, spread and kind of supply misinformation and conspiracy theories to sort of give people, you know, alternate explanations for what was happening. And that's a huge problem. And it's not just in government. It's also in science. It's also in media. And I don't see that profound mistrust going away. And, you know, this is a huge problem that every community needs to be confronting on some level. And so, you know, again, I'm kind of hopeful that there are, you know, folks at every level who are, you know, trying to get engaged in that kind of good faith way. But yeah, this is something we're going to just continue to see.
More after a quick break. Hey, ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It is crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or your community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together. Hi, it's Bridget Todd, host of There Are No Girls on the Internet. Listen, technology has made our lives easier in some ways, but it's also made us homebodies, scrolling mindlessly. Well, you get the point. Let Rails to Trails Conservancy unstick you from home. When you get out on a trail and get to walking, you'll feel so good. Trust me. You'll see that being out on the trail is so much more than a day outside. It's good for your soul. Get ideas for getting outside on the trail from Rails to Trails Conservancy, the nation's largest trails, walking, and biking advocacy organization. Visit railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at RailsToTrails. So in 2024, one of my goals is to finally get serious about my finances. It's been kind of a big emotional thing for me. Thinking about money historically has caused me a lot of anxiety and stress because I have a lot of trauma related to money. And if you can relate, if that sounds like you, check out Fearless Finance. Fearless Finance provides on-demand, comprehensive financial planning by the hour. It's a new way to get financial advice without all the headaches, high fees, and commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. Fearless Finance planners don't sell anything. No used car salesman vibe here. And that means no concerns about being sold something just for the commission that it earns a rep. Their planners meet you where you are on your financial journey. No judgment, whether you're looking to buy a house, optimize your savings, or just want to make sure your finances are okay. They can answer your questions and help you achieve your goals. No question is too small. No problem is too big. Fearless Finance is making financial advice more affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually, and they charge by the hour. Visit fearlessfinance.com today to get started. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit. And you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use code GIRLS.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's get right back into it. So I want to switch gears a little bit. You know, so much of what you have covered on the podcast has been pretty dark, but one of the sort of silver linings is that people didn't take this sitting down in these you know, small communities. They actually organized to resist the takeovers of their communities by these extremist factions. Can you talk a bit about how they were able to do that?
Absolutely. So yeah, the community there is SQIM Washington. And so this was where, like we were talking about earlier, there was this opioid addiction treatment clinic that was proposed that really drove the town in two, and the opposition group became this kind of like forum for almost radicalization. And part of the story too is that, you know, while people were kind of asleep at the wheel, so to speak, or not paying a whole lot of attention to what was happening on their city council in this small town, a guy was elected to city council and eventually became mayor, who was a professed supporter of QAnon at that time, who actually, you know, was posting with the QAnon slogan, "Where we go one, we go all," on his Facebook page, and who eventually would go on the local radio station in the small town and kind of advertise QAnon and encourage people to go, you know, look up YouTube videos that promoted this dangerous conspiracy theory. And so when that happened, all around the same time as the big controversy around the clinic hit, you know, people really freaked out. I mean, not everybody, right? Because the mayor did have his supporters for sure, particularly in this Facebook group. But there was a group of citizens in this community that came together and said, you know, this is where we draw the line, basically. And so they sort of set their eye on the upcoming city council election. And they formed a group, which they called the Good Governance League. And it was a, you know, bipartisan effort. There were folks on both sides of the political aisle involved, including other city council members, one of whom was a Republican. And they campaigned together to say, you know, the people of SQIM, you know, care that our government runs on facts. They banded together and say, you know, what we care most about is that our city council runs on facts and that, you know, our city council members are not, that our city council members are paying attention to the issues that affect us and not to, you know, conspiracy theories that are prominent at the national level or, you know, to these kinds of national level political trends that are reshaping our country. We really want, you know, our local leaders to focus on local issues. And so that was really the message they campaigned on, and they endorsed a number of candidates for city council. And I have to say, they didn't really do anything particularly novel, right? I think what was so striking about this story is that, you know, they just deployed the tactics that organizers have been using for decades, you know, if not forever. They went door to door. They, you know, talked to their fellow neighbors about what was going on in their town. They just kind of spread awareness about, you know, what the mayor was all about and what he was saying. You know, they sent emails, they wrote postcards, just these kind of traditional methods, and they were successful. And so I do think that that is a encouraging story about, you know, just pretty regular people, you know, drawing the line in the sand around the way they wanted their government to work and kind of what that meant for their local democracy. And they did something about it. And I do think that, you know, just looking at some of the tactics and methods they use, like, I think that could definitely be repeated in other communities.
Well, yeah, I mean, that brings me to one of my last questions for you. Given all that you've reported on with Bedrock USA, are you hopeful for the state of democracy, for the state of politics and the way that decisions get made and progress gets made in small towns?
Whew, am I hopeful? It's a tough question. I think we are in a really scary spot right now. I mean, we have a significant proportion of our voting public, you know, who still question the 2020 election results. Who are likely to continue to question the results of elections moving forward based on beliefs that are just not rooted in fact, right? I mean, we saw this in 2020. We are seeing it in local elections moving forward, and we're very likely to see it during the midterms. And that's really scary, you know, at the national level and also on the local level, because again, like, a lot of us just aren't paying attention. You know, local media outlets have been drained of their resources to cover a lot of local elections. And so there just isn't going to be, you know, as much coverage as there should be of, you know, election deniers harassing election workers, for example, or, you know, pressuring local officials to, you know, perform unnecessary investigations or even throw out election results potentially. I mean, these are all things that, you know, we saw play out to sort of different degrees in the 2020 election. I think we are going to continue to see that happen. And so, you know, where that leads, when you have a populace that does not accept the results of a sound election is, I don't know if you can call it a democracy anymore, right? So that is really scary. I think that, you know, based on my reporting, you know, where I put my hope, I suppose, is, you know, in groups of people who do, you know, decide to come together around a common belief and even, you know, faith that the system can work and that it should work and that it can be better. And also just in some of the local officials I met who, you know, are continuing to do their jobs because they believe so wholeheartedly in that system, that they're just continuing to do their jobs under really, really challenging circumstances, you know, in communities like Shasta County, where there are just a lot of people who do not trust the work that, you know, election workers do, or some of the, you know, county officials who, you know, run the health department, for example, and they're harassed, you know, and they receive threats, and they are, you know, doing their jobs in the face of just really serious threats to the work that they do. But they're persevering, and, you know, I'll say that this kind of environment is really discouraging to a lot of people who might otherwise consider that kind of work, but it's so important. They're literally keeping our kind of system running. So some of those folks give me hope, but I think the overall picture is definitely scary.
Oh, I mean, I find this time and time again. It's the people that make the only thing that gives me any hope in covering any of this is the people. Like, the people working together, coming together, will always be more powerful than the dark forces I choose to believe. And so that's the only way I have any hope about any of this at all.
Yep. I mean, and I think it's kind of, it's like, it's obvious, but it's also kind of profound, right? I mean, I tried to sort of say this earlier and probably was pretty inarticulate, but like, that is really the, like, not so profound, but kind of profound conclusion that came to in this whole reporting project is just that, you know, we think of democracy as like this abstract institution and, you know, this like hallowed set of processes and kind of rituals that is just supposed to happen. And it, you know, democracy sounds like it's a building or something, or like a physical structure, but it's people. I mean, literally, it comes down to the people who are, you know, counting the ballots and running, you know, polling locations and, you know, literally tabulating votes at the end of the day, right? And of course, it's also the people who we elect to represent us. But it is people. It really does come down to people and whether, you know, we can and do trust those that we have put in positions that you know, ought to be worthy of our trust. But I completely agree with you. I think we have to be looking to each other, because that's all we have. That's all we have is one another to sort of make the system work.
Laura, where can people find the podcast and keep up with all your work?
Absolutely. So Bedrock USA is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or on Bloomberg.com. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Ms. Laura Bliss.
Got a story about an interesting thing in tech or just want to say hi? You can reach us at hello@tangodi.com. You can also find transcripts for today's episode at tangodi.com. There Are No Girls on the Internet was created by me, Bridget Todd. It's a production of iHeartRadio and Unbossed Creative. Jonathan Strickland is our executive producer. Tari Harrison is our producer and sound engineer. Michael Amato is our contributing producer. I'm your host, Bridget Todd. If you want to help us grow, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.